Hi, I'm Madonna Guy, and this is The Natural Alternative. Welcome. As you know, I've been a lifeblood analyst for about 17, 18 years now, and there is weird stuff in people's blood. So I just thought I'd show you a couple of my samples from my clients over the last few weeks. Things are sort of really ramping up. It's not just the graphene oxide we were seeing a year ago. There's all sorts of delights going on in our blood these days. And then I'm going to share the complete interview with Maria Z, David Nixon, and Carl C. This is from early May, but it shows a lot of the changes going on in people's blood. Enjoy. So now I'm going to share the Maria Z interview with Dr. David Nixon and Carl C. Enjoy.
The last time that we had Dr. David Nixon and researcher Carl C. on with us, they showed us extremely alarming findings that suggested that human cells may be in the process of being replaced by synthetic biology. Well, their most recent findings confirm our fears. They join us after this short break to expose what they're seeing under the microscope now. Don't go anywhere, we'll be right back. The New World Order has openly declared war on the free people of the world, and now they're telling us to expect catastrophic cyber attacks over the next 2 years. Weather events, no power, grids down, mobile cell services out. Contact your loved ones anywhere, anytime with the satellite phone store. The Bivvy is a revolutionary GPS-based device which allows you to send SMS messages via your phone even if you have no mobile or cell service. Galileo will ensure you always stay in contact with Z Media, other trusted information sources, and your loved ones that can update you in real time in the event of an emergency. Don't be caught out and unprepared for the unprecedented times we are living in. Stay 10 steps ahead through secure, encrypted communication. Visit sat123.com/Maria and prepare yourself and your loved ones now. Dr. David Nixon and Carl C., thank you so much for joining us again today.
Lovely to see you again, Maria. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
It's great to have you both on. The last time we spoke, you were showing us very alarming things that were starting to appear in the urine of people. And I believe that now we have even more to discuss today. You've both obviously been looking into the effects of the nanotechnology into the human body. Before we get into your presentation, do you want to give us a summary?
Yes, I think there's three things we really want to talk about today. The first one is what we believe to be synthetic red blood cells that we're seeing in the blood, particularly in the last couple of weeks. Second thing we want to talk about is the structures that we're seeing inside the blood cells, and on the blood cells, and some detail around that. And the third thing we want to show you is what we're calling microfluidic structures. And that's almost as bordering as the robot arms. So I'm sure you'll find that interesting.
I absolutely will, particularly because just recently Z Media released the report of Ido Bachelet of Bar-Ilan University partnering with Pfizer in 2015. And, in 2013, he did this presentation about these nanorobots and how they can actually be directed remotely. I mean, even back then, with what he calls like a joystick or an Xbox controller to interact with each other. And in that expose, I included our previous interview with the robotic arms, Dr. Nixon, because it looked exactly like what you were showing us then. That seems to be what Ido Bachelet was describing.
Interesting. Yes, it certainly, it seems to be likely that what we're looking at is technology that's not widely recognized.
Yep. And we're seeing some correlations now between David's chips, the injectables, the swab tests, COVID-19 swab tests, and the materials being produced in certain cells within the blood. And a lot of that seems to involve colloidal type nanotechnologies, based on colloidal molecules, colloidal cells, and things like that. So
Inevitably, there is new words and new jargon associated with this. So, we've been banding this around for a little while. So forgive us if it's all new. Please remind us if things are new.
yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of new terminology that people are becoming accustomed to. So many still don't understand or know even that synthetic biology exists. So, I mean, this is a whole new world for people, but thankfully our audience is aware and sharing the information. So let's get into your presentation so that people can see what you found.
Well, so here is what we've been seeing lately, which has become quite the trend, is alterations to the blood cells. With my Leica microscope, an industrial imager, we can actually see the colors and details quite sharply in the blood cells. We can see the membrane has been altered. It's really quite thick. It's entirely different to a normal blood cell structure. And the variation in the materials are quite interesting. There seems to be about several types of material being produced at this stage. We've got the smaller colored molecules in some of the cells, image four on the right. And we've got, sort of blue, much smaller particles and debris, which kind of match up with what looks like in literature as a proteinosome. Images one and two. One shows you what looks like an echinocyte, which is obviously the blood cell with the nodules. It looks like it has the big lumps attached to it. And, we're told this is an echinocyte in the past. But image two was taken over now, and we actually have a video of that, which we'll put up on Substack. And it shows the transition of the material attached to the cell, then sort of merging and folding out into a different cell structure, which, as say, you see in image two, before this cell then starts to thicken its membrane and become one of these artificial cells. The only thing we've managed to see that actually would resemble anything like this at all is the DoD's Department of Defense's erythema. And David and I have both been made aware of all of the money and research they've put into over the years with different contractors on how to make not only powdered blood for emergencies, an emergency blood transfusion, but for altering your blood cells in situ. So,
Right.
making some kind of biowarfare that can create bioreactors, drug delivery, make nanomaterials, basically turn your cell into a manufacturing facility for other processes that might be controlled within your blood. So we don't understand exactly what these things are, what they're doing. We just know that they're not bacterial, they're not fungal, they vary too much, and it's now started to become the norm.
Right, so can I just ask, is this predominantly seen in red blood cells that we're seeing that rouleau formation in, or is it independent of blood cells that are experiencing that?
Right. Interestingly, you should bring up the rouleau. So we're seeing a lot less of that now than we were previously.
Right.
So this is happening in generally isolated areas on the slide, and it's happening to all the cells in that area are becoming are starting to look like this, and there's evidence of structures inside the cell. So on
Interesting.
my microscope, I don't see the color, but I do see the shapes.
Well, I wonder, and let me know if I'm jumping ahead here, but I wonder, are we seeing the whatever these synthetic things inside the blood cells, are we seeing interaction between them and frequencies like we did with, some of the chips?
Certainly don't think we can categorically say that we've seen that or
Okay.
that aware of that relationship,
Okay.
although it's likely that there is a relationship that exists, we just can't see it.
past being energized, and all cells needing energy as your own human cells do. We couldn't really tell. And of course, these are quite different structures and maybe a different pathway of technology to what the crystal chips are. So we can see that there are varying processes and structures. So it would make sense that there were multiple products being made in a human body. And we'll show you some more about that in a bit.
But this is quite easy to see, you know. So anybody with a reasonable microscope can get a dark field condenser for a few $100, and they'll be able to achieve pictures that demonstrate this. So it's not something that should be hidden. It's something that should be out in the open, and it's tangible evidence that there's tampering going on. So this is a relatively normal video of my blood from 12 months ago, and we can see variation in size and shape of the red blood cells. And there's not a lot of particles in the plasma there, and unfortunately, my blood doesn't look like that anymore. So over the last couple of weeks, I've seen examples in different people of red cells that look like this. And these are clearly two identical. They all look the same size and the same shape, and they're all reflecting light in the same way.
Yeah, this is an unusual pattern. I said to David, I was familiar with using polarized light microscopy with special filters on both ends, which you normally use for metallurgy and stuff. But they use it with colloids and other materials, and they give off this crisscrossed light pattern with the four breaks. And suddenly, David's not actually using polarized filters. And I'm like, how are you seeing this? And like, that makes it look like synthetic cells. So it's quite interesting.
Is this theorizing here? Is this potentially a result of the directed evolution that they so want to achieve? Improving, is this their version of improving the human body?
Well, that would certainly be a reasonable conjecture.
Yeah. I think most of us say, what is it? If it was for our benefit and if it was really that good, then they would have told us about it
Oh,
rather than us.
absolutely. I just wonder whether, this is evidence of their experimentation of perfecting the human body and,
I certainly think it is, and I think we need to get very angry that this is happening. And again, this is very easy to see. And I've seen this in two or three people. Two of them were unjabbed. They hadn't received a COVID-19 vaccination. And as we've discussed previously, it's impossible to tell by looking at the blood who's actually received a vaccination and who hasn't, just because our environment is currently so contaminated. And we'll talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, and essentially those other cells that we just saw with all the details in there, that technology is a control technology, because if it's able to, if it is that, and it's able to release drugs and other quite intricate molecules and materials, then somehow that has to be controlled. Somebody's controlling that, so that's a bit worrying.
Well, let me tell you, Bar Ilan University in Israel certainly said they can control it remotely, but they admitted to the fact that humans get hooked up to the internet with these nanorobots, and that there are 1,000 billion robots per droplet inside an injection, inside what they call a vaccine, and they certainly said that they ensure that they can't. That they don't lose control over these nanorobots or nanomaterials because they hook them up to the internet. And so it's absolutely true, according to the people that Pfizer partnered with, that that is the case. My concern, Carl and Dr. Nixon, is that it's not actually someone controlling it, but it's actually already AI, but that's a separate topic altogether.
Agreed. Yeah.
So I just put those two photos of Forrest there just as a metaphor for what we're seeing. So
Yes.
some things can be too identical and too perfect. So most of the viewers will be familiar with the strange structures that I found in the Pfizer Comirnaty vaccine injectable. So I just illustrate those again there now, and we'll come on to why I brought those up again. And this was just an amazing example of this the technology. So this was probably second only to the robot arms in terms of trying to get your head around what we're actually seeing. This fiber implanting itself into the structure. So these are examples of more strange crystal structures that we've seen recently, and we now have a better idea of what we're seeing, and I'll get Carl to speak to that.
So yeah, I've been getting David, or letting David, look at some of his older samples, which he showed, it was quite some time ago. Review those on my scope, and some of the newer ones he's been doing. The imager I have is way more sensitive to light. It's more balanced in the color range, and so with certain settings on it and stuff, it actually pulls out details that David couldn't see before quite the same. And what's going on is that we're seeing huge clusters of aggregating nanoparticles and colloidal molecules, is what we believe they are, which are a little bit larger than nanoparticles. And they'll end up being put into some kind of substrate, which appears to then form as a crystal. Now, it's very hard to focus in on these structures because the light is all over the place with standard optics. So getting that just right and spending a lot of time tuning it up is critical to being able to see these details. And when you do, you realize that David was definitely onto a winner, doing all that crystal work. And we can quite clearly see that the molecules, which are not actually molecules as in a particle, but a technology based on the composition of nanoparticles, molecules, chemicals, and maybe even DNA, RNA. I'm going to zoom this up since David showed me how to use that button. But we can see this is a slightly less developed crystal. We can see the compartments that show up as clear on David's microscope are actually very colorful and very detailed. And we do see occasionally small wire-like thin blue structures appearing between these compartments. It's good to remind ourselves that we don't need cables for electronics. Chemicals can be electronics. So how that works, I wouldn't want to comment just yet. And I'm not saying these are definitely electronic components, but they do seem very much that they have that intricacy going on. And the development of these crystals is just really mind-boggling. It's fantastic. We've seen so many, and these were very, very tiny. And they were taken with a 40 times oil immersion lens, which is quite expensive and is highly unusual. You don't see 40 times oil immersion lens very often. We can see these details. They're in there. This image is a bit compressed, so you can't really see as much as you normally would, but it's there. Very intriguing. So the relevance at this point is we want to just show that there seems to be a huge load of pathways exhibiting the morphologies and the methods that you would see for employing colloidal materials.
So these are the urine photos, or a couple
Yes.
of examples that you've seen previously, just to illustrate how these particles or colloidal molecules, which are the larger version, line up and how they organize themselves. And certainly there's quite a lot written in the literature, which we've discovered since we showed you these pictures, which describe the different types of bond between the different structures, which will certainly contribute to the patterns.
Yeah, it's interesting because we didn't know what to call them before when we were on the show with you, so we
Yes.
called them Dreamweavers. But it's interesting because we knew that there was something really odd about how these things would, well, just do this. It's amazing.
Yes.
And since then, we've now found out that colloidal molecules can not only position themselves and align through very complex and unique bonds. So each of those molecules could have a different job, different programming, like a building block. But they can expand and they can create cells. So these are expanded colloids, it would appear, from what we're understanding in the literature so far. So all of this stuff is starting to come together quite nicely when we look at our pee
So
and
what
other
role
things.
do colloidal molecules play as far as the transhumanists are concerned in controlling the human being? Because that's a key to the understanding, I suppose, why they would choose that.
So nanoparticles and quantum dots were the big topic in the beginning, as everybody was learning.
Yes.
And those can be, pretty useful in terms of building program structures, drug delivery, customizing a form of bio warfare and stuff like that. But colloidal molecules, they're more complex. These aren't a single metal particle that's then doped with layers and then has a limited amount of abilities. A colloidal molecule can be slowly formed from, again, more selective bonds and smaller particles, chemicals, and everything else. Even DNA can get in there as an instructor. And you basically have now a work office or a teamwork work office, construction office in that small particle. So the complexity, abilities, and pathways have been increased over that of a nanoparticle. So it fits the bill quite well. And as soon as we started to realize it started to fit a lot of these papers, that it would seem like it was the superior choice for these kinds of technologies.
Right. I will read more into it.
So this is just a bit of a collage showing. This is like a slightly earlier stage of the blood cells breaking down, and we can clearly see that there's these really quite colorful beads and clusters. So colloidal molecules can also present as clusters instead of being an individual small fluorescing particle, if you like a nanoparticle, but just a bit larger. I think they're four to five times larger, depending on how they're designed. But you can see that they're in there. We can see the colors very clearly on a very high-end scope. You won't see it on a, mid-end scope or typical LBA, live blood analysis scope. But you do have to have a good image on that. But you can also see that in some of the cell structures, which are not bubbles, that there's also the expression of what would seem to be colloidal molecules. And these are expanding into varying cell structures. These are the cell forms here that have expanded, and we can watch them doing this. Material can be produced with inside of those. And the colors vary greatly, even in a form where they look like they contain liquids, because the chemistry is likely different in each of those. And we'll show you why that might be very shortly.
It looks reptilian.
Oh well, I've
It
joined the
doesn't
club.
look right.
Well, thanks. I'll take that as a compliment because this one's my blood.
Okay, sorry, Carl.
That's all right, Maria, you're hot too, don't worry. This is just not photoshopped, not CGI'd. This is really happening. And we had a Zoom this morning with a whole bunch of other, LBA types and naturopaths, and now they're all seeing the same thing. It's becoming the trend. And they can't see it quite as well. But they certainly can see that it's the same thing.
I've never seen blood look like that in my life.
Right. Well, if you were to look at your own blood, with the type of equipment that we've got access to at the moment, you'd see this.
But I'm saying post-COVID, pre-COVID.
I don't think you would do. Maybe some members of the public that might have been previously experimented on, possibly. Wink,
Yeah.
wink. So yeah, here's just another quick video just showing you that clearly some of these things are blue. The materials are all extremely different. So don't confuse yourself into thinking that these are parasites or something simple. Some of the motions of these things, once they start to become more refined, they'll be rolling like barrels. And there'll be other stuff that has multiple stuff in the cell. And some of them are almost attached by some form of bonds. And they're rotating like machinery, and another part will be doing something else. These are all highly bizarre and complex designs. So yeah, and there's something to be said about these stringy things that might have looked a little bit like Lyme disease spirochetes. But we'll probably go into that another time, because they're different colors. We're seeing them a lot in a lot of different people's bloods, and they're quite reflective and unnatural looking, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the key thing is they appear to be synthetic, and trying to find some other non-synthetic
Answer.
answer is not what we should be doing.
So, took us a long time, and many of the LBAs were like, are these bubbles now always on my sample? But we got way past that now. We've been examining these for a very, very long time, done lots of different forms of microscopy staining, or using dyes and more, watching the morphology, and we're now starting to see patterns as the blood's getting worse. And these are quite consistent between everybody's blood that we look at. And it may take 10 minutes to do it, it may take 30 minutes. But pretty much you'll see it if you keep watching the blood, and it happen quite rapidly. And it triggers off, you will see at the edges some relation to oxygen or air being able to get in at the edge of the slide that helps to trigger it. But suddenly you'll start to see what looks like gels or hydrogels in membrane-confined areas starting to seep out. And maybe there are differences between the different membranes. I'm not entirely sure. But once they trigger off, they'll start moving quite rapidly. And these membranes are very thick. They're almost very polymer-like, and plasticky. And here we can see this is quite consistent now. It creates these very bright rings, which we've nicknamed for now, ring constructors, because we have very close-up video of these in different things, water, drinks, blood, and they're clearly producing things from the membrane to the inside of the structure, and laying out various things like cells, colloidal molecules. It seems that they're able to produce something that looks like colloidal molecules, and we've seen interactions with blood on these membranes. It looks like they draw material from their surroundings selectively, like any cell would. Number four down here is one example of the kind of almost hydrogel-like nets with nanoparticles and other materials that seem to stretch out from these cells. And this is quite a regular occurrence. And we can see that there's other material confined within that cell that will just get more dense and continue to form. Number five here is, this is 40 times oil immersion. This is now, this is all over everybody's blood. This is just one form of the cell. Oh, sorry, I screwed that up, David.
That's okay.
This
I'm
is one
saying
of
that's
four.
okay on Dr. Nixon's behalf.
Thank you. I've already deleted the first presentation.
I'll talk to him later.
Damn it. So yeah, here we can actually see, originally we would see the smaller particle form, which would be the light blue dotty structures. And I think that there might be a 5G wireless interaction that maybe commands molecular pathways to change, because you can do that with wireless frequencies. Is how we create reactive species, reactive oxygen species in water and all kinds of stuff. You do it with frequency, you alter molecules. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, but we would see these the most, wouldn't we? The small dots. And then they got larger. And then we noticed it more in the blood, everybody did. But here you can see how the nature of colloidal materials exposes itself, because they start to expand. And there are many structures that form like this, and you'll come back to them, and they'll have just created a very dense pile of material, which we'll see in one of the next slides. So if you can hold the control and we'll zoom back out. Thank you, sir. One of the things that we're seeing is the these structures here, which look a bit like well, I'll explain that in a minute when you see it. But anyway, we can see the alignment of these molecules again, complex molecules. And we can see that the ones that have aligned and matured appropriately have attached themselves to the expanded colloids, which have now become like a colloidal cell, which is translatable to a vessel. So like a cooking vessel, you could see that, or a reaction vessel. And you're going to love the video we show you in a bit, because then you can see this well-organized factory or possibly liquid computing device in action. There you go. So just for anyone who's doubting, we use stains and dyes like toluidine blue, which is, again, it's that word I'm forgetting again. I did this before.
Non-specific.
Mm-hmm. So they will stain and dye many things within their contact, and show them up in varying colors.
I think the importance of this is we've tried to say, oh, they're just air bubbles, or we're just seeing what's at the bottom of the slide, and clearly that's not the case.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the important message with that.
Yeah. In every one of these cell structures, some of them can be quite bare at first, but it doesn't take long. Some of them will come out the blood already with clear indications that they're not bubbles. And here we can see that the toluidine has possibly dyed purple for RNA and some small bits of blue, which would indicate DNA. But it is an indicator. That's not anything set in stone. You just use it as a possibility. And then there's all this other material. So we can see it's actually creating stuff, as we said, from the membrane. And we can watch it doing this in real time. And it's quite fast when you think about how fast it's creating stuff. So here's a blow up showing you one of the ring members. But this is actually at this point not a smaller ring. This is a very large wavy cell that's moving, that might look like what we've been calling hydrogel, starting to cover the entire sample, the slide. And as it's doing so, it's drawing blood cells into the membrane. And the membrane's an interesting thing, because if you change the light, you can see that there are multiple components to this membrane, and sometimes there are like two tubules running alongside each other with stuff happening inside. But you see these pop up quite clearly. And again, we've only got so much time, so we'll show videos and stuff like that on the Substack. And there's so much work we've done, we just can't get it all up there in time. But this is spitting out large cells, it's spitting out smaller cells.
So it appears to be taking the material from the red cell and making all the stuff.
And I'd say probably stuff that we don't see in the solution, or possibly even hydrogels in the plasma, that it could use as, you know, construction or building blocks. But, you know, we're still learning this stuff. We just know that we see it. We've seen papers that match and tie up.
So to clarify, it's taking natural materials to sort of power itself, to be able to
your own cells, what do? They metabolize things. They're designed selectively. Each one of your cells is designed selectively, and it will take, do you want this, it will take you know, whichever chemicals and stuff it wants to create reactions with within that cell to build that recipe for what you need. And this is the technology they've mastered, and they mastered it years ago. It's the video called, it's called the Origin of Life. And basically they show you in there, we understand how human cells work, we can use them as factories to produce anything. All we have to do is replicate a situation where that particular cell that's produced has a selective membrane, responds to light or heat or whatever it needs to do in order to catalyze you know, the output of other materials and chemicals. So a lot of this technology is based on that.
I'm just got aware of the limited time we've got, Maria.
Yes.
I'd quite like to go to the key videos that we've got.
Yep, sure. So I'll flick through these. People can pause them, they've seen them. So I'll flick through to it, and then people can pause it. There we go. That's quite interesting. There are wires that attach to these cells, and they attach to the blood cells. So,
it's fascinating.
Yeah, this is actually important.
Yeah,
Grant.
Oh, just quickly, we can see that with the dyes that the cell structures are changing, and that's indicated by the dyes.
Yeah, so the importance of this one is just the differences in the cell membrane. You know, it's obviously got different colors there, and
yes,
suggests different materials inside the membrane. Right, so this is the punchline, if you like. This is what these things do when they get going. So when Carl first showed me this, I thought it was just bubbles popping. But when you watch it, you realize that there's repetitive behavior going on here. And the same things are happening. Same bubbles are filling up and going down and filling up and going down.
There's one in the bottom left there that it looks like it's dripping into another one. I mean, it's... Yeah, down here.
They are. So, you know, this is not an accidental structure. It's quite complex. You'll see in the other video that some of them have got very specific coloration difference between them all. This should indicate to you that the contents of the cell, maybe the cell structure itself, is different. Yet, clearly, these are well attached, and we see that stuff can be transferred from each vessel to another vessel. This definitely indicates the use of microfluidics, and microfluidics can be used to, you know, manufacture things from other materials that might be absorbing into, say, this membrane, along with stuff that's selectively coming into it. And you can create, you know, recreate life, recreate cellular productivity, and you can recreate manufacturing of a programmed type.
So, question, also, does anything like this process exist naturally in the body?
I think there are some, but not in this way. No, they're simpler. You know, your body does this in between cell membranes and layers and in very various other ways, but they seem to be much simpler from what I can find. You shouldn't really just find a microfluidic system forming in your blood.
And we simple answer to that is no.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's interesting. So these are quite shocking to watch, and we see these now quite often in many different samples. We can even see there's particles bouncing around in these structures. But they've certainly gotten worse, and they've developed more as time's gone by, and everything else in the blood has gotten worse. So and we can actually see that these are involved with the colloidal molecules. So there's another clue, you know.
Does the blood ever bubble like that naturally in any for any reason?
No.
Do we know why it's happening?
As I say, the only thing we can assert at the moment, what our research shows us, is this could be something that's able to produce them more materials.
Complex.
Materials in the body. Yeah, and another stage, another cell structure might use the material that this produces because they need those chemicals for this process. On the other hand, David and I found papers talking about using similar systems as liquid computing. So you could make a liquid computer chip. And maybe there's some kind of relation between the microchips we've been finding in this, but one of them's not the correct state, but we seem to think they're both built from colloidal molecules. So we're not really sure, but there's something in there. Maybe we'll find out eventually.
Well, I'll certainly, I mean, you know, all of the research that I've done today pointed to hydrogel, that being programmable matter. Are you saying it's not, or there is a relationship between all of them?
Well, there's definitely hydrogel involved.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter what form of, whether you use colloidal molecules, whether you use simple nanoparticles, whether you're trying to build synthetic cells and deliver them, hydrogel is your man. Hydrogel is your cargo container.
Yeah.
With the constructors in it. Okay. So see hydrogel as a constructor or multiple constructors, which is why you might add multiple arms to increase the complexity. So maybe four different hydrogels, and then things unpack from that hydrogel. So hydrogel still stands, and we've done a lot of dyeing and staining of products, blood, various other things, and they are showing positive for things like alginate calcium ions and hydrogel, possibly chitosan or chitosan, and there's a few other candidates that we're exploring.
I think the key thing is that they certainly see hydrogel as the bridge between biology and technology.
Yes.
So this is probably quite a good video to end on. This is actually taken from a relative's blood, and it's using three different stains to give the different colors. It's possible that one of the stains has produced those green crystals that you see there.
But of course,
Is
they're just
this,
bubbles.
well, hang on, is this the video on loop, or is this the blood doing this
No, this
repeatedly?
is the blood doing this. So I have to reset this one, but I have looped other samples that we've got.
Why is it doing that?
Microfluidics, baby. So hang on, we go. Okay, why is it being a pain in the butt? There we go. And we'll start that again. So I'll zoom into another part for you. These are all uniquely designed. These are all obviously doing different things. We can see they're different. We're not children. We can see the difference between things, and that's basic science. So, if these things are not equal and they're not doing something simple, then they're not simple.
So unlike the first video, this one is actually sped up, and it looks like it's looped, but it's not. And the motion on here is like a metronome. It's crazy.
It makes sense. If you're making a chemical composition and you want that to come out, then everyone puts in 2 cups of flour, three cups of water, etc. So that it would make sense there's timing.
I don't need your cake, man.
Oh, yeah,
That
dude. It's all right. It's safe and effective.
doesn't sound like a good cooking lesson to
It's safe and effective, I swear. All healthy, natural, good for you, grass-fed cake.
So.
This has come, my observation is that it's come such a long way. The blood has changed so much since the original versions that we saw of the blood, the original samples. Is it your belief that it's evolving, if you will?
Yeah, definitely, absolutely.
Or deteriorating might be a bit
Well,
another.
I agree with you on that, but and would it be my question, I guess, and perhaps you can't answer this, but would it be from what was originally introduced in the body, or do you think that it's a compounding thing? My question is, do you think that if someone is exposed to, say, a COVID injection, that without any further external factors, without any geoengineering, without eating meat that has this sort of stuff in it, that it can evolve to this stage? Or do you think that the compounding effect is required?
I think it will happen faster if you consume more of the materials,
Yes.
but it would seem
It's
quite
definitely a
durable.
compounding effect. It's ongoing contamination there, I think, is the main problem.
Yeah.
So this is an example of this sort of material in water. So listeners will be aware about the discussions around geoengineering. So they're clearly conducting that over our water supplies. So this material is getting into our water and into our food.
Yep, these are the same constructive cells, and these are the colloidal molecules. We took pool water samples from an outdoor pool, and we've taken quite a few tap water samples from different areas. I've done them in the UK as well. And these cell structures will all start to make connective strands with each other. You'll then see cells starting to appear with inside of them. And to the unsuspecting person, they might look like bubbles, but they're not. And
so these things are trying to make life forms, synthetic life forms.
Basically, they are unpacking nanotechnology. So, yes. You know, they're trying to alter your biology is what we understand.
Yes.
And maybe even implement devices that will co-inhabit with your biology.
Yes.
That's how we see it at the moment. But yeah, when we use RO water, which is what we're advising people to do, change your filters every 2 months. But what we're seeing is the water's so clean, we can use it for our samples. And we don't see this in our own.
What water is it?
Reverse osmosis seems to be the best way of removing this material from drinking water. And we certainly encourage everybody to look at that option.
You know, watching this over the past few years and watching the difference of what we're seeing under the microscope in terms of the human body and the changes to the human body, for anyone who's been tracking it this whole time, it's undeniable that something is very, very wrong. And you know, I'm of the same opinion that I was from day one, which is that we need more people looking at this. We definitely need those in the sort of traditional medical community, if you will, even those that have woken up to the big pharma problem, to come together with those who understand that we really have moved to this era of synthetic biology. Again, I bring up Ido Bachelet, who all the way back in 2013 bragged about being able to do this. Now, of course, the original discussion was about curing, say, cancer in someone, and being able to package these 1,000 billion robots into one drop so that they can be, you know, remotely controlled by Bar Ilan to go and kill your cancer cells. But imagine that in the hands of people that want us dead and people that are dead set serious about merging us with technology, linking us to the internet of everything. Gentlemen, we're out of time today, but I think you've given me homework on the colloidal molecules and how this all interacts with the internet of things and the internet of everything. I find the synchronization fascinating, particularly in light of CERN's White Rabbit and them sort of syncing, because they did this during the eclipse in order to sync the Internet of Everything and make sure that their quantum computing isn't affected by external factors such as an eclipse or magnetic shifts in the Earth. And so I think that they are very much serious about, what I'm saying is I think that they're fine-tuning this Internet of Everything with the humans that are now contaminated with this stuff. It looks like there's a fine-tuning process going on, because CERN already say that financial institutions are connected to White Rabbit, telcos are connected to White Rabbit, and they were just fine-tuning during the eclipse. I think there are things that are going on that are way beyond a lot of people's understanding, but certainly both of you have assisted in waking people up to that. So very briefly, I want to bring up Carl's Substack for everyone. It is Man Against the Machine .substack. Sorry. But you're against the machine too, though, right?
We are against the machine.
If I'd have known it was all machines in the beginning, it would have been Man Against the Machines, Terminator style.
We definitely need to speak again very soon, gentlemen. I mean, these are amazing findings. This is Carl's Substack, Carl C's Substack. Blood reaches new catastrophic levels of alteration. DOD, you can pronounce that for me, Carl. Like tech in full swing.
Arifrema.
And we also have Dr. Nixon's Substack, which I encourage everyone to sign up to. You can go to substack.com/@DavidNixon. So please sign up to both of those Substacks and keep on top of what is going on, humanity. We need answers. We need more people onto this, but I'm appreciative of both of you. Thank you so much for your research.
Thanks, Ray.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you. We'll talk soon.